We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest, when I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. If you thought I was going to do away with this cheesy open for Charge, you were sorely mistaken. I got to tell you, Charge, for whatever reason, this little ditty has a place in my brain that I can't get out. It's a real earworm to me. And I kind of like it. It's very sweet in its exaltation of your new home, the Beehive State. Do you not like it?
It is the Beehive State, and we do have bees year-round. When I first got here, I'm like, why beehives? What's the big deal? You get year-round bees here. The song is growing on me. I still don't want to hear it.
Too bad! My podcast!
It's so loud! Oh.
Anyway, I think of you every time there's a major winter storm that is raking across Minnesota. Like there is one right now.
Oh, they're getting killed.
Oh,
yes.
I mean, freezing cold temperatures, whistling high winds, just brutal. And you ain't got no part.
They closed the highways in most of southern Minnesota and Iowa. The Twin Cities got merely, you know, they just got a snowstorm, but not what they normally get. It's 60 degrees here. It's so weird, Zabe. It's so weird. The days are getting longer already. I'm not in the deep freeze. I'm really not used to it. I don't know what to do with it. Every day I wake up and go, oh my God, the weather, it's unreal.
Is it a good disorientation net when it's all said and done? Or are you struggling right now? It's okay. Be honest. This is a safe space.
Well, the part I'm struggling with is the friends and family part. Cause I miss them more than I did when I first moved. But, you know, back then I was like, oh, ready to get away from you people. Now I kind of miss them a little bit.
But that's
so
to be expected.
Heading back to Minnesota for a few days in January. And that'll be nice. Going to Manny's, by the way, as you can imagine. You can't, if I'm going to go back to Minnesota, I'm going to Manny's.
Going to Manny's Steakhouse, one of the all-time steakhouses. It's only Cal, and Cal has been around for a long time. But the way that Manny's does it is second to none.
It is second to none. I'm not getting a steak like that anywhere else until I go to Las Vegas, basically. So, yes, I'm excited for that. And, you know, let me tell you one of the other things that has been really great about this weather is, and I think you'll appreciate this more than most, Zabe. Costco, I got a big about 4 foot by 4 foot block of artificial turf rolled up like a carpet.
Yeah.
I rolled it onto my back patio, got my golf club out, got my plastic wiffle ball golf balls. And for Christmas, I bought Roxy her first ever set of clubs.
Nice.
Now, this is very much the blind leading the blind. As you know, I've never cracked 100 on a golf course. But I know, like, just sort of the basics, and we watched a YouTube video, and I'm like, all right, let's go out. So I got Roxy out in the backyard on our little strip of artificial turf and got her. I got the setup. I think we have the setup just right. We've got the knees bent. We got the back, you know, we got the back slightly forward.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the elbows straight. We've got the grip right. I think we've got everything right. And Zabe, I think she might already be better than me. I got a dozen of these little wiffle ball golf balls for the backyard.
I can't.
I got her doing one third swings.
Yeah.
Right. So we're just doing one third swings. She's knocking them dead ass straight. Perfectly straight, just
into the rocky hillside that backs up to your home.
She can't reach that, not on a third of a swing, but yes, but that's exactly right. Heading into the hill in the back. And I'm not saying that she's going to make the senior LPGA tour, but I'm also not ruling it out.
Yeah, well, you pretty much got it.
This might be something fun.
You pretty much got it nailed. You're going to try to conquer the world's most unsolvable sport, the most unconquerable athletic move by going to YouTube and just figuring it out. The blind leading the blind. This is awesome. And you know what? I love every part of it. However, you bought a small square of AstroTurf from the Home Depot in town. Is that right?
Costco, but yes.
Okay. Is it made for golf? Does it have a foam rubber backing to it?
It does, actually. Yes.
It's so how thick is it? One inch? 2 inch?
I would guess inch and a half, somewhere in that range.
All right. Yeah. So it's designed for golf specifically.
I assume so. It had many uses listed on the box. Golf was one of them. So
what other uses for a strip of AstroTurf?
Well, around here, I'll tell you exactly what that is.
Oh, boy.
That is the dog relief area because nobody's got a grass backyard. Nobody's got grass in their backyard.
And dogs want to piss on grass instinctively, whether they live in Utah or not. Yes. They're like, give me some grass, damn it. I'm not a savage. I'm your pet.
Exactly. Yes. So now I got to decide, like, what's the next step for Roxy in the golf learning process? I mean, do we go get lessons? Do we just go out and hit it? We've got some nine hole executive courses around.
Do that.
Including some that are very nice courses.
Do that. Do that.
Just go start there, right?
Do that. Go do 9 holes once a week. You and Roxy, 9 holes. Who cares how bad it is? Laugh. Bring a cocktail, enjoy the stupidity of the sport. And then once you've done that every week for, say, 2 or 3 months, then you can go see an instructor. But I don't want you to get it bogged down in, oh, where's my hand, where's this? You just need to get accustomed to your own athletic body, and you have an athletic body, as does Roxy, figuring out the basics of, if I turn here and do this and whip the club like that, it gives me more speed and power. You're going to figure out 80% of it on your own. And the last 20% is refinement and reps. But I don't want you to get frustrated and too overly concerned with every little thing the instructor is going to tell you. Left wrist here, right knee there. What am I doing? Now you're thinking. You don't want to think. You want to feel the athletic move and then refine it. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm worried about grooving bad habits.
You're too young in the process. You are too few hours and too few swings to groove anything. You would have to practice bad habits for years for them to be grooved. But even those can be gotten out of with new routines. What I did, and I know that people are like, what is this, a golf podcast? It is now. It's a Me in Charge podcast. It's the second to last one of the year. We thank you for being a Zabecast subscriber and listeners. Good to talk to Charge. We're going to get into the NFL and a bunch of other stuff. But real quick, I made a grip change in the last year.
Oh.
After a lifetime
at this stage?
Of golf. A subtle grip change, Charge. It was to get my left hand grip more in the fingers, less in the palm, and to have it be a lot stronger than it normally is. And that has led to a jump in skill level that my handicap dropped from about a 9 or a 10 down to a 3. And it was
just from that?
Yes, because what it did was, at first it was awkward and weird, but the rest of my athletic body adjusted to this new grip. And therefore, it said, okay, well, you're going to start doing a little bit of this. And, you know, everything else changed without me even trying based on this new grip. Because I'm of a certain athletic level that is not high, but it's also not low. And I've got a lot of mechanical memory into what a golf swing should feel like. That's the kind of stuff that
can happen. How weird was it and how difficult was it to make the transition? So sure, you dropped your handicap 7 strokes, which is not nothing when you're at 10. But the process of getting there had to feel very foreign for a long time.
I don't really remember when it was super awkward. I just remember decidedly saying, hey, I've got to get my left hand stronger and I've got to get, you know, my grip more in the fingers. So at first it was a little bit bad, but then it just slowly adjusted. And then I slowly was able to keep tweaking it a little bit more. Now, this does not mean all my problems are solved. Oh, no, Not even close. Other problems have arisen since. Putting, chipping, short game, wedge game, you name it. So the quest continues, but 'tis the game of a lifetime, and it will, what golf will do for you, Charge, is it'll put you with people who enrich your life, who you want to spend time with, who open doors, who invite you to their nice places that they have and own because they want to show them off. Come on out to my condo in Colorado. We'll play golf for a weekend. They will do that. That's what golfers do. They network with each other. And so that's a beautiful thing. Keep at it. Now let's get to the rest of today's podcast.
I know. And this is all me, by the way. For people who are frustrated about the golf talk, this is entirely my doing, not Zabe's. He has a whole separate golf podcast for that with real golf conversation.
Right.
Then the next question is about the people on the golf course. For most people, is the golf course the place to get away from your wife or the place to go to be with your wife?
Depends on what you think of your wife. Now, not everyone's wife golfs. My wife does not golf, but I don't play golf to get away from her. But if she did, then I think that playing golf with your wife or girlfriend is a very tricky thing because sometimes it works, other times it does not. I've seen some guys who are so rude and such assholes to their wives on the course, it has taken me aback. Like, okay. It's a hard game, and she's trying. And do you not hear the tone of your voice? And do you not know that you suck also? Like, come on, bro, what are you doing here? But then I know some guys that happily golf with their wives, and they're made for it. They're made for each other. So I encourage you along this trip. There's only one cautionary downside: if you do fall head over heels for this game. The only bad thing, and I warn you this, and this has happened to me, is that it really makes you not want to spend time with anybody who doesn't play golf.
I've been on the other side of that.
I know. And it's such a weird fucking thing. It shouldn't be the case, but it often is. It's because you end up having a dozen or so close golf friends. And then you're like, I love those people. And yes, we can also play golf. So let's gravitate towards them. Then when you're with a non-golf person, you're acutely aware of, oh yeah, they don't golf. But I don't think that'll happen to you. You'll stay balanced with your friends that like to do golf and like to do other things and camping and gaming and everything else. So there you go. How was your,
So do you mentally bucket your friends into those who golf and those who do not?
I wouldn't say I mentally bucket them, but I'm trying to, like, with my non-golf friends, I'm thinking, well, what do I do with them? Where do I go with them? Like, and it's sort of a case of, I have so little time anyway, at least until now. I had so little time anyway for friends that when I would have that chance, I always reach for the golf friend bucket. So I never exhausted even that bucket to begin with, to then say, hey, tired of the golf nerds, let's go do this with somebody else. Gotcha. All right, we good? Okay.
Right. Well, we'll see. Journey's expanding. This is another way to get me on the course more often, and I'm excited for that.
I love it. I'm happy for you. How was your Christmas?
Well, we put up zero decorations.
So, noted.
You know, when we moved, when you move everything and you do not have a child in the house, so we're empty nesters now, you know, we're like, okay, do we move all of our Christmas crap? No. The answer's no. So we gave and sold basically all of our Christmas crap, didn't put up anything, and then got a chance to hang out with my brother, his wife,
nice.
My two nephews. So yeah, it was great.
Church
is still, it was still family because they're here, which is really cool.
This is your younger brother, correct? He's younger than you by a couple of years.
Yeah, I've only got one. He's younger 4 years. He worked at Xbox. He worked at PlayStation.
And he also lives in Utah.
Retired young.
Yeah, he lives in Utah, but it's further up north. It's a couple hours north of you.
Yeah, he's 30 minutes north of me. 30, but only okay. 30 minutes.
All right,
so
cool.
Yeah. So we're close by. And so that part of it was super cool. Also, Christmas Day, 65 degrees.
How'd that feel?
For it's surreal. The best word for it, Abe, is surreal.
Did it feel good? Like,
it's
or bad?
Christmas, and I'm out. I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah,
it's just so strange.
Okay,
so
well, strange. For anyone who is now a Southern Climes liver who once was living in the Northern Climes, email us and let Charge know some advice for getting acclimated to the fact that you're going to have warm and, you know, mild Christmases now for the rest of your life, most likely. Just, you know, any advice?
Yes.
Excuse me. What the hell was that?
Holy cow. That was, you ripped the siding off a barn with that.
Jesus. That's what happens when you try to suppress a burp and you fail in suppressing the burp. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Okay, so you and I have a common problem now as residents of the NFC North. And that common problem is Caleb fucking Williams with proper coaching and increased maturity. Dude, we got problems with this guy. And I was so sure he was going to be a fucking bust. And then
this should be your repention. Right?
Well, yes. I mean, 1 year later, look, credit to Caleb himself for showing signs of maturity, even though the nail painting I'll never get. And then, you know, good coaching and a strong structure around him does wonders. The throws he's making, that Niner game was outrageously fun to watch.
Oh, how much fun was that, Zabe?
That's crazy.
That's
7-7, 14-7, 14-14, 21-21, 20-30, 20. I think it was like the first game ever that went match for match, score for score, up to 28-28. In regular season history. It's happened once, I guess, in the playoffs, I heard.
Yes, that is correct. That is exactly correct about that unique stat. Now, there have been as many people across social media were regaling how much fun that Bears 49ers game was with the up and down frantic scoring. There were some others who were like, well, I'd like to remind you the defense is half of the game.
Yeah.
This is an example of bad defense and bad football. And you know what? It's a fantasy football culture. We love scoring. You know what is no fun in hockey is a 0-0 shootout win. Football, it points are fun. Scoring is fun, and I'm not apologizing for that. Yes, great defense counts, and you can have fun watching the Houston Texans rack up a 6-sack game. That it's not like you can't have fun that way. But you know what? points are fun. Scoring is fun. Back and forth. Teams, you know, vying for leads, coming back, getting a lead, taking a lead, giving up a lead. That is a blast. And you have to have scoring to do that.
Yeah. And if you wanted non-offense, you could have just enjoyed the Bills and the Eagles, because that was the flip coin, the flip side of the coin to the Bears and the Niners. Also, yes, it needs to be noted that what the Niners are doing remains an absolute wonder and testament to all phases of the organization, with, you know, Kyle Shanahan and what's his name, the GM from the Buccaneers. I got a name block on him now, which is driving me crazy, and it's part of going senile.
Yes, and you know what? And I am as
have
well.
Have I transferred the name block to you right
it's
now?
Not, it's the yeah. It's,
John
it's
Lynch.
It's the
John Lynch
for the Tampa Bay.
John Lynch
for Tampa Bay.
John
yes.
Lynch. John Thank Lynch. You. John Lynch. John Lynch. For some reason, I've relabeled him in my brain Trevor, and my brain knows that he's not a Trevor. For some dumb reason.
He is.
So
not,
yeah,
he,
yes, John Lynch. He, John Lynch there, and Kyle Shanahan. Here's what the Niners do. They keep coming. And they keep coming, and they keep coming. Doesn't matter who they lose. Like, look at their season so far. You ready? They went into the season in cap hell. And people are like, oh, boy. Been looking at their spot rack page. They are screwed, blued, and tattooed. They're going to have to shed all these guys. Well, they navigated that. Then the wide receiver they stupidly paid too much money to, and Brandon Ayuk, went fucking crazy.
Yes.
And went off the reservation and disappeared. And they shrugged it off and said, well, we'll figure it out. Then they lose during the season all-world defensive end Nick Bosa, who I think when healthy is better than everybody, including Myles Garrett. And they lose all-world Fred Warner, who's the best middle linebacker in the league when that position is no longer valued, and also incredibly handsome. This guy has a future as a male model. Look at Fred Warner and that look. Holy fuck. Okay. They lose both those guys. They play for large chunks of the year with Mac Jones, whom they acquired for one specific reason. They know he can run Shanny's offense, and they survive with him for large chunks of the season. Kittle is in, Kittle is out, Kittle is in, Kittle is out. McCaffrey starts the year with a surprise. Oh, he's got an injury we didn't tell you about, fantasy owners, and you just drafted him 1/1. Thanks for nothing, you assholes. And they kind of manage him the best they can with this injury. His yards per carry is at the lowest of his career, but he's still a son of a bitch who you have to account for every single game. And they just keep coming, and they just keep coming. And that is incredible. I liken them to the T-2000 Terminator in the sequel movie, made of liquid metal, where the Terminator's head gets shot point blank by Arnold Schwarzenegger and that shotgun, and it splits in two, and he staggers, and then the thing just folds right up again, bloop, and we're back. They are a remarkable story this year. Would you not agree?
Maybe the most remarkable story. Patriots are probably the most remarkable story.
Because of the turnaround.
The NFC's most yeah, right. The Niners should not have the second best record in the NFC based on all of those things and having to play their own division.
Yes.
Where Seattle and the Rams are arguably, you can make a case for either one of them being the best team in football, and they had to battle through that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's remarkable. There are a lot of people that don't love Kyle Shanahan. I don't care. He's been phenomenal with what he's been able to wring out of this roster. And now the funny thing is they're going to come into the playoffs as healthy as they've been pretty much all year, and anything could happen. The version of Brock Purdy that we saw last weekend was amazing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Honestly, Purdy's been good all year. It's been remarkable for a guy. Many people thought the Purdy contract was going to come back to haunt them.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to be the case at all here.
Yeah.
It looks like ultimately they've done the right thing on him. And you know, maybe at some point down the road, they'll regret it, but it doesn't look like it right now.
Yeah. He was making plays. He was whoop, 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 running around, running through defenders, yes, diving into the end zone, doing little dances afterwards. I have been very much a meh Brock Purdy guy. And I am now coming around more and more because he played the best game by far of his career last night. So now we spin forward into the final weekend of the year.
Well, okay. By the way, as a quick interjection, 2 weeks ago, he threw 5 touchdowns. I mean, you know, this is, you know, the kid has been very, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
My buddy out there they call him the Brock Party. Got to get the Brock Party.
Oh, you're having a Brock Party.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the mix, the Brock Party. Okay. That said, we spin into the final weekend of the NFL season with some real intrigue on our hands, because as I look right here, right now, the last game of the year, Sunday Night Football, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, winner gets the t-shirts, the hats, the home game. Loser, much like Willy Wonka said in the movie, you get nothing. Good day, sir. Slam the door. It could be Aaron Rodgers' last game, which is probably why they chose that game for that spot, because many said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are we not ending on Niners versus Rams or Seahawks, right? Seahawks they're playing, Niners, right. Seahawks. Why are we not ending on that?
Yep, and they're doing that. They're doing that Saturday instead, which is interesting.
Charge, put on your network executive hat and or your NFL hat and tell me why you think they did this.
Say that again, because you broke up just for a second.
Right, why there. Do you think, put on your network hat or your Roger Goodell hat and tell me why you think they made these choices?
I think they went for 2 primetime games. I think they made the assumption that even though it's a Saturday, they would rather have these 2 win and in big leverage games separated by a day so they could each have prime time. Now, part of it also is the league gets paid on and gets viewer ratings are scoped differently for primetime games. And so at the end of the year, you will see a list. Here's the 50 top primetime TV shows.
Oh,
and 22 of the top 25 are NFL games. I think they love having the NFL game, even though Saturday's a day where people are off having a life, seeing friends, going out to eat, whatever. Seahawks 49ers is kind of appointment viewing if you love the NFL, and they'd like to have 2 games.
Interesting.
On 2 primetime games. So I believe that's the reason they separated these two, and maybe because it could be Mike Tomlin's final game as well.
Oh, this just
popped.
They wanted
to get that Ravens-Steelers knockout.
Yes, this just popped today, by the way, after weeks of national media indignance that anyone dare hint that maybe it's time to move on from Tomlin. Adam Schefter, of all people, tweeted out the following. You ready? Adam Schefter says on the Pat McAfee Show that it's, quote, in the realm of possibility that Mike Tomlin leaves the Steelers with a loss on Sunday and goes and does TV next season or coaches somewhere else in 2026. That is just in the realm of possibility. I can see it, Adam Schefter, I reporting that this is a possibility. It's a very mealy-mouthed, not even a, quote, report. But you know that Schefter gets his stuff straight from the source,
yes.
The agents of the coaches.
Agents.
And so this is maybe softening the ground for this. I sent it to my 2 good Steeler buddies, Nathan and Scott, and their response was, don't tease me. The other one said, I was just thinking the same thing. They've been wanting him out for some time. I think the fact that he said, I don't think we played bad. We just didn't make enough big plays after their loss to the Browns was enough to make me go, what the fuck are you talking about? If you didn't make enough big plays, then you stunk.
They sleptwalk through a game they needed desperately to win. They never seemed like they were emotionally invested in that game. You know, the team that did was the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns, I mean, you know, this is a team that needs to be at the top of the draft. They've got to reset the quarterback position again, probably. I don't think Shadur is a long-term answer, and I think whoever comes in next will have the freedom to get their own quarterback. I don't believe it'll be Kevin Stefanski. I think he'll lose his job at the end of this year, unfortunately, because I'm a big fan of him professionally and personally.
Oh, Stefanski's out, you think?
I think Stefanski's out. Wow. I think they've just absorbed it, just too many losses. And it's not his fault he got saddled, I believe. Ownership saddled him with the shitty quarterbacks in that contract. Yeah. That's not his fault.
Right. Yes.
And a parade of shitty quarterbacks. But sure. when Joe Flacco was not able to produce wins in Cleveland and then went over to Cincinnati and looked great, I think that hurt Kevin Stefanski a lot.
Right.
As for the Steelers, you just got to win in the playoffs eventually. And this team just hasn't made any noise in the playoffs since Ben Roethlisberger. It's just been too long. And I think, you know, you can say, oh, well, this is the most stable organization. They've had three coaches in whatever, 40 years. You know, that's great to a degree, but at some point you got to have more winning.
That brings us to this. I don't know who this kid is. The account on Twitter and TikTok is called Film Watchers. And this kid looks like he is some 15-year-old boy who can't even shave yet because he's got a total baby face. He's got a Kurt Warner Rams jersey and a Jerry Rice jersey hanging on his wall. And he somehow really knows ball. And he can break down film. This is what he saw on the absurd 4th-and-1 YOLO ball to Scotty Miller. I mean, a shrimpy white guy, 4th-and-1 YOLO ball down the left sideline that goes incomplete. He breaks it down perfectly. Take a listen.
Just retire. This is pathetic. I mean, he comes out on a 4th-and-1, and you have this 5-wide gun empty set, and you immediately notice that the Browns have man alignment from all their DBs on all the Steelers receiving threats. You have that whole defender. You have that single high safety. That's a textbook pre-snap cover one look. So then you motion Freiermuth in, and you also notice that his man defender follows him. That confirms the man coverage, confirms the cover one. Good thing that you have a route concept drawn up that perfectly attacks man coverage. Because when this Mike blitzes, this works out perfectly because your tight end is going to run off his man defender. Adam Thielen breaks in on the under. That attacks the outside shade leverage of his man defender. Adam Thielen is wide open across the middle of the field on a 4th-and-1. Yet Aaron Rodgers manages to not read the fact that the Mike blitzes. His head immediately turns to Scotty Miller running a fade on a 4th-and-1. No disrespect to Scotty Miller. That's not a high percentage play. The ball misses entirely. Like, what even is that? Oh, that didn't just happen once, though. This time on a 3rd-and-medium, you come out and you see all those man defenders on all the Steelers receiving threats. This time, they just show a 2-high shell. So you're like, oh, that's cover 2 man. Good thing my route concept perfectly attacks cover 2 man. Because when you motion Freiermuth out, you see the Browns DB switch off. And then the route concept is great because you have these two crossers. And those crossers get in the way of Scotty Miller's man defender. And Scotty Miller, he's just running this wheel. So you notice right now, you can throw this perfect little back shoulder fade ball, pick up the first down on a 3rd-and-medium. Well, guess who doesn't even notice that? Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Instead, he's going to look directly over to 35-year-old Adam Thielen running the fade ball on a 3rd-and-medium, throw it up to him, and what do you know? It's incomplete. Like, what are you doing? Oh, let me do it one more time, though. This time on a 4th-and-goal with the game on the line, you got Kenneth Gainwell blocking and releasing. Oh, man, he's wide open. You got a perfect throwing lane. That's a touchdown right there. Instead, Aaron Rodgers sure has a better idea. He's going to throw it up to Marquez Valdez Scantling for the 3rd time in a row against Denzel Ward. What are you doing? Genuinely, are you high or something? Because you are 42 years old. The mental game should be the sharpest part of your game by far, and yet you look like an idiot.
That's savage. That's awesome.
And you know what? He ain't wrong about any of it, is he?
Nope. Nope. And, you know, I know your listeners can't see that, but, you know, it is everything he said, absolutely confirmed by video. It's all true. And that's on Rodgers, who hasn't had a bad season is the funny thing. But those are all misreads by Rodgers right there. Holy cow. And, you know, maybe, Zabe, Mike Tomlin didn't want to throw his quarterback under the bus in public. When he assessed the game, he could have said, Aaron Rodgers fucked us. He missed this throw. He missed this throw. He missed this throw. We didn't convert thirds. We didn't convert the fourth because he fucked up, but he didn't say that.
Well, when was the last time you remember seeing a coach get in Aaron Rodgers' face briefly coming off the field? Like, why the fuck are you throwing it there? It's been years.
because Never? He's such a legend. I don't know. I mean, he would have to go to way back to early Rodgers to see it. But I almost was expecting after that, you know, YOLO ball to Miller, I was like, okay, someone's going to yell at him going, it's fourth and one. That's the best shot you thought we had? I mean, Miller was covered even. Never mind the fact the ball was thrown out of bounds. Just an incredibly dumb losing ball. And I love this kid for exposing it. I have no idea where this kid gets his chops, his knowledge. I need to do more digging to find out.
Really good.
Some people are kind of annoyed by a lot of these young posers, these, you know, living in their mom's basement guys. But if it's good, it's good. This kid's good. I watched some of his stuff, and I'm like, okay, I like it. And this
he knows what he's doing for sure. While we're alluding to Packers coaches, can we talk about Malik Willis?
Let's talk Malik Willis.
So Malik Willis is heading for a payday now.
Yes.
This is he has now shown, and I tweeted a little bit about this last week when I'm watching him pass last week when he came in for love, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy can pass now. Well, that changes everything. Cause I mean if you don't mind a quick diversion down of Malik Willis histories.
What you talking about, Willis? I just wanted to say that a great throwback to the great Three's Company. No, what's happening? No, different strokes.
What's happening? No, neither. Different strokes. Yeah.
Okay.
Different
strokes. What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? That kid's name was Gary Coleman.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
The Malik Willis career arc, as a reminder, 2022, he was the talk of the draft class. He was the Liberty quarterback.
I remember.
And everybody's like, you know, small school, Liberty quarterback, but he's got the big arm. He's got the incredible mobility. And people thought he could go first overall. Instead, he had the ignominious fall, the Rodgers-like fall, but worse, all the way to the third round going to the Titans. Very Shedeur Sanders-like. And at the time, the Titans had Ryan Tannehill, so he was the presumed, Willis was the presumed successor behind Tannehill. And Mike Vrabel, keep in mind, was the coach of the Titans at that time. Willis started three games his rookie year for Mike Vrabel and the Titans. Zabe, here were the passing yards in those three games. 99 yards.
Woof.
80 yards.
Woof.
And 55 passing yards.
Ay. Stink.
His
stank,
passing
stunk.
Was awful. It just looked totally non-functional. Stayed with Tennessee for one more year, didn't get any starts, got cut, and then signed by the Packers.
Last year, correction. The Packers got him for a seventh round pick. Or a bag of groceries.
Oh, thank you.
At that point, Vrabel was gone. Callahan was in. And when asked about the Mason Rudolph versus Malik Willis thing, Callahan said breezily, it was Rudolph and it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close was the wording, which it might have been at the time. And you have to give some maybe credit to LaFleur and the Packers for shining up this penny and letting him absorb. And you got to give tons of credit to Malik himself, who is a humble man of faith, who has applied himself to become a much better player. The question is going to be, how much better? And once he is QB1 next year for somebody like the Jets, what will he look like? I don't know.
That's right. Zabe, I think you hit all the big points here. Matt LaFleur gets a lot of credit. Now, the problem is going to be the sample size is so small, Zabe.
Yes.
In these Packer games. Now, last year, he had to come in week two and week three and had to start those games. They let him pass 14 times and 19 times. This is last year. That was it. And they won those games, but they won them almost entirely on defense. Their opponent scored 10 and 14 points. That's it. Then this year, last weekend, he threw 21 times. He completed 18. And it wasn't all the dink and dunk stuff that LaFleur had done with him. It had all been short stuff before. And then the periodic long pass. You know, we always knew he could long pass, but you know if he could make anything else. The sample size is so small. This is going to be the guy Malik Willis is going to either make a general manager and head coach's career, or he's going to sink them fast because we don't have requisite data points to know for sure where he is and whether or not he can be as efficient as he has been through the two games we've seen him in this year when he goes to some other quarterback needy team. And maybe it is the Jets.
How about this? Let's come up with a list of short sample size bonus baby quarterbacks that either did or did not thrive. The one that comes to my mind is Scott Mitchell. Scott Mitchell with the Lions.
That's exactly where I was going. Yes. Yes.
There you go. And it's
there,
just
was a battle to get Mitchell, if you recall, 1995, because he had put together a nice string of games for the Miami Dolphins, I believe. Maybe
didn't
it's
he go? Didn't he go from Detroit to Miami, or am I misremembering that?
And it's Miami to Detroit.
Got it. Okay.
As I'm just pulling it up right now, where he had put together a handful of good games for Miami, and then set him up for just a massive deal. Bidding wars. Vikings tried to get him. Lions ultimately got Scott Mitchell, and it obviously didn't go very right. well.
I got it. I got another one for you. You ready? Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn.
Oh God. Played, perfect example.
Played the final game of the Green Bay Packers 2012 season, the 2011 season for the Packers, where they were 14-1 at the time. He played the final game of the year at Lambeau Field because the Packers had wrapped everything up. This was at the peak of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, thermonuclear offenses where they were lighting people's hair on fire. And Matt Flynn gets in that car and drives like he stole it, running over yards, evading police. It was awesome. It was so good of a game by the backup Matt Flynn. Wikipedia has an entry titled Matt Flynn Game. You know it was a hell of a game when it has your name in a Wikipedia entry. So on that game, he was due to become a free agent.
Do you remember what happened with Flynn in Seattle?
Well, okay, so he goes on to throw for, let me get the stats here in the game. Flynn's performance set two Packer team records, most passing touchdowns in the game, 6, and most passing yards in the game, 480.
Yes.
Rodgers would go on to tie those records in subsequent games after Flynn left, but the Packers knew that they weren't going to keep him, so he ends up going to Seattle and gets a 3-year, $26 million deal to be their presumed starter. But on a whim that spring in the draft, the Seahawks and John Schneider say, what about this guy who transferred to Wisconsin who looks like he's got some moxie? Russell Wilson. So they picked him up in the third round. Almost like you pick up a Kit Kat in the checkout aisle at your supermarket. And it turns out that Russell Wilson won the job and never looked back. And Matt Flynn became a footnote.
He did. I've got two more with the help of Grok.
Let's go.
You'll remember both of these vividly.
Let's go.
Brock Osweiler He had 7 good starts for Denver and parlayed into a 7-year, $72 million deal with the Houston Texans. And eventually he got benched halfway through the season. And eventually Houston had to pay to get him off the roster.
So
Brock
bad.
Osweiler, totally non-functional. And then one more, who this player did go on to a nice career. You will recall Tom Brady got knocked out in week 2 or 3 of that year, 2020.
Oh, yeah, Matt Castle.
2000.
Yeah, you Matt said Castle. Tom Brady. I was like, no, Tom Brady is not one of these guys. But
that's right.
Yeah, Matt Castle is another one. Now, Castle.
Exactly.
Castle ended up pretty much, they traded him for a lone second to the Chiefs. If I recall,
Chiefs got him 6 years, $63 million. The Chiefs went 1-7 with Matt Castle and benched him.
But wait, wasn't he traded for a single number two, or is that Garoppolo? Garoppolo got traded for a naked two, and I thought that was quite low because Garoppolo looked pretty damn good replacing Brady, short sample size, that year that he blew his knee out. And, you know, I'd say Garoppolo had more of a career than, what's his name, did, Castle. But Castle turned into
Matt Castle did.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's a great, is Elvis Gerback to the Chiefs another short sample size kind of guy? God, or had Gerback played longer before that second go round? I know what I do want to call this category, though. I want to call these quarterbacks, I want to call them Vegas wedding QBs. In other words, you are out in Vegas, you meet a chick, it's a drunken 24, 48-hour bender, and you fall in love on a short sample size weekend of Vegas, fun, booze, sex, you name it, and you marry her at the Little White Chapel with Elvis officiating. That's what these quarterbacks are. I crowdsource to those listening, please email me, any other Vegas wedding quarterbacks you can think of.
I have a Vegas wedding style story for you. True story.
I don't know if we have time.
Go to Vegas with. Oh, all right. Okay, that's no problem.
How long is the story? 5 minutes?
Two.
Oh, that's like
this
name
is
that
not
tune.
Hedy Lamarr.
Okay, name that tune. I can tell this story in 2 minutes. Ready and go.
Four guys in Vegas. Should be the ultimate guys weekend, right? We all love football. We're there during the NFL playoffs. It's going to be great. And at one point, my buddies, there are two guys that went off to a bar, and they text the other two of us and like, hey, we found some girls we're chatting with at this bar. You should head over here. So I'm like, okay, we go over there. I'm married, so I'm not in it for the girls, but I want to be with, social and be with my friends. The girls are just in it for free drinks. They're like 20 years younger than us. They're not terribly good looking. Nobody else is going to buy them drinks, but my buddies are getting them all liquored up.
How old are you at the time?
This story's about 12 years old.
Okay. So you're,
so I'm
you're
in my,
your
I'm about 40, early, we'll mid, call it 42, mid-40s. 43, 44, okay. Mid-40s. Yeah.
Mid-40s. So, and these two gals, for guys who are in their mid-40s, and these gals are in their 20s, they were what?
That's right.
Were they sixes, sevens, fives?
Yeah, they're in the four, five, and six range. And there's four of them, and there's
four. There was a four in the batch. Yeesh.
Yeah, there's four and four. Okay. Yep. And, you know, but we're not picky here, right? For all I know, I'm a four. I don't care.
Well, okay. No, you're not a four, but I'm just saying that a four to a 40-year-old guy with money poaching downwards 20 years in age is like a three or a two if she's going straight across to another 25-year-old. You know that, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes, okay. That's right. But when you're, you know, and this is, you know, one of my buddies is, he was divorced.
Single. How recently divorced? So,
At that point, he was about a year, year and a half out.
Yeah, so he's in seek and destroy mode.
Right. At some point, the night gets pretty long, and it's well after midnight, and I'm tired of buying these girls drinks, and they're nitwits, so I'm out. And so I'm like, you know what, I'm going to bed, and we make plans. This is when I was still a very active runner, and my buddy's an active runner. So we had made plans to get together. 8 a.m., we're going to go for a run before it gets hot. This was summer, now that I think about it. It wasn't NFL playoffs. So morning comes, 8 o'clock, and we had been there the previous morning. We'd run at 8 o'clock. Now it's this morning at 8 o'clock. He doesn't show.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, huh, okay. Last I saw, he was hammered. The 4, 5, and 6 were all hammered, and now it's 8 o'clock, and he's a no-show. Sure enough. They had the hookup, and he gets home and he says, now, in fairness, he'd not get married there, but he says, I'm moving to Alabama to go live with the girl. Yep.
Now, was she the four, the five, or the six?
In fairness, she was the six.
Okay, all right, okay, but, at least there's that. And okay, Alabama so six.
An Alabama six, yep. Yep.
And did he move? Did he move to Alabama?
He moved.
And did they get? Did they end up getting married?
No, lasted about 6 months, and he came back with his tail between his legs.
Did he tell you what happened?
Well, yeah. I mean, we were friends. You know, I was getting the play-by-play as it was. Now, obviously, you know, they had hooked up that night, and they, you know,
right.
I think
but what happened? And what happened in Alabama? Did you pry that out of him as his friend, or did he volunteer it? Like, you wouldn't believe it, man. I was picked on the whole time by her redneck friends down there. I was treated as this Minnesota freak. It was awful. Or was it like, did he was like, yeah, man, she had like four guys that were on Auburn's football team that kept texting her once I was down there.
No, it was nothing to quite that dramatic, I'm afraid. It was just, they just didn't have similar goals. And, you know, she's 20 years younger than him. And, you know, it wasn't as dramatic as that. But he did keep me posted as it was going on because we're friends and we talk regularly.
Well,
and
thankfully, you know, he didn't get married.
He'd be like, oh, boy.
Because, you know, if you do get married at that stupid little white chapel with Elvis officiating, it does count legally as being married. And you have to then.
Oh, yeah.
Untangle yourself legally in the state of Nevada with that whole affair. So be careful.
Yes.
Well, be careful to anyone who is getting Malik Willis. I do think he's a great human being and a hard worker, and he's really done a lot to make himself better. Small sample size, though, so who knows how he will look somewhere next year. But go get that bag, young man. Get that money you've worked hard for, and I'll be rooting for you as long as you don't go anywhere. Well, he wouldn't go in the division, so it doesn't matter. Good luck wherever you go.
That's right.
Let's end on this, Church. Many, many years ago was a stunt that has reverberated throughout the years called the Battle of the Sexes. Billie Jean King, then the reigning world's number one tennis player, played a ne'er-do-well by the name of Bobby Riggs.
Mm.
A guy who had played some low-level amateur tennis but was not a professional. A skinny little bird-legged man, and the whole thing was quite the spectacle, as billed as the Battle of the Sexes on ABC, with Howard Cosell announcing it as well.
Right.
And as sort of a proxy of, hey, can a man off the street beat the world's number one female tennis player? As it turns out, and I forget, I believe that Riggs lost the match and lost the match badly, which is kind of laughable because he really sucked as a tennis player for the most part. But word came out afterwards that he tanked the match because he owed the mob money and they were wagering heavily on this exhibition. It's truly one of the more amazing things that has happened in the world of sports and history. But since then, there has always been this sort of question of, well, look at these women now playing tennis. They can really womp the ball. Wham! Boom! And they grunt and they scream. And many women along the way have cautioned, saying, yeah, no, we're not anything close to the men. Stop saying this. Like, you could, you know, possibly compete with the so-and-so ranked man in male tennis. It's just not possible. Serena Williams said that as much. Well, apparently some promoter got the following two tennis stars of today's modern game. Kirilenko, is that her name? The female player?
I remember she's got a Russian name, but that's all I know. And it's not Anna Kournikova.
No, it's not. By the way, Anna Kournikova is busy pumping out a family. I just saw that
didn't
recently.
That.
She's had like her fourth kid.
That's the update. Really?
Look, yeah.
Wow.
Arina Sabalenka. That's who it is. Arina Sabalenka agreed to play men's world number 61, Nick Kyrgios. Kyrgios has been known when he was better and ranked in the top 10. I forget how high he got. He was like the bad boy of tennis. He would always get these umpire violations, and he's kind of like the modern-day McEnroe who would bitch about calls and everything else. But he has since been injured.
Yes.
He's a part-time player. His men's world ranking had fallen all the way to 671. And he agreed to play this exhibition match against the world's number one, Aryna Sabalenka, but with some stipulations. Sabalenka got to play on a court that was, I think, 9% smaller than his side of the court. And he was only allowed one serve, not two. So that limited his, you know, ability to really womp first serves into the court and dominate her with that obvious weapon for men. Kirilenko was already also injured recently, and he was woefully out of shape because the exhibition, which was, I think, in Dubai, you see his utterly sweaty ass sweatshirt afterwards. Here, let me get this for you. I'm having trouble finding where all these windows are. I hate this about this platform. Okay. Anyway, he beats her in straight sets. And there are people now saying, why did you agree to this? You've set women's tennis back 50 years, 20 years. It's so horrible. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, people. She happily did it. She said, you know what? Let's just see what happens. It wasn't the worst match. There was apparently a few decent long rallies. Here it is right here.
It's Nick Kyrgios.
6-3.
The battle of the sexes here in Dubai.
Dubai. Look at how nasty, sweaty he is.
God, ugh. He is.
Sexes. What an amazing.
He does not.
He's in terms of tennis.
He's got a little gut to him. He is.
Oh, yes.
Right. He is not in great
shape. Oh, yes. He is thoroughly and utterly washed up. It is funny that they did this. It's even more funny the hysterical feminists' reaction about how this was a setback for the women's game. The women's game is just fine. The women's game in tennis is the only sport, Charge, in which the women at the major events now get equal pay to the men. That is now a thing in tennis. And
well,
they don't have to play as many sets. They get the same amount of money for three-set matches versus five-set matches. That's never been better, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Sorry, you were saying.
And many people would rather watch, at the highest level, they would rather watch women play tennis than men because the men's tend to be ace or not ace and then winning a winning return or not winning return. You don't get the long rallies. You don't get nearly as much of the drama. There are a lot of people who would simply rather watch women's tennis, and that's okay. And even, by the way, if the women's tennis isn't as good, even if the 1,000th ranked man, which is probably true, the 1,000th ranked man would destroy the number one ranked woman, which is probably true, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with women's tennis, that women's tennis have anything to apologize for. It's okay for the game to be not the same. And trying to suggest in any way that the game is the same and just as competitive between men and women is absurd. And I think that's the insulting part to women.
Yeah.
It doesn't need women to beat, a woman to beat a haggard guy.
If she had won.
Bobby Riggs was 55 years old. That's like me and you dragging me and you out onto the court.
I know.
It's absurd.
I know. And if she had won against Kyrgios with one fewer serve, with a court that was smaller, it's like, what did that prove? Absolutely nothing. So it's hysterical to watch. Bottom line is the women's game is just fine. Like you said, it scales better for an entertainment product because the rallies are longer and the personalities in the women's game are more appealing. The men tend to be more robotic and uninteresting. And it is serve, return, volley, end of point. If not ace.
So. Yes, not an ace. That's right. Now, can we agree objectively?
And I'm rapping right now, by
the way. Without any possible deviation, Maria Sharapova, the way hotter Russian tennis player than Anna Kournikova. I mean, clearly the better tennis player. I mean, that's not even in question.
I cannot sign on to that.
Sharapova,
I cannot.
Way hotter.
No, I cannot sign on to that. I am way more of an Anna Kournikova fan, but I'm way more of a Martina Hingis fan in terms of looks, the Swiss Miss. And I actually had to think once upon a time for the German Fraulein, Steffi Graf. So there's that. And then there is a Canadian player, French-Canadian player, by the name of Eugenia Bouchard, who is just an absolute snack and a half, and a good tennis player. And because you can't hear the music going out, George, I'm going to wrap you. Happy New Year, my friend. Don't get too drunk out there in Utah, and we'll check in 2026.
Bye-bye, my friend.
Records are short. No way. Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So good day.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.